Again, my name is Joey. Pastor Dan and Pastor Jess couldn't be here, so they asked me to bring the word tonight. So, are you guys ready? If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. It's right after Philippians, which is right after Ephesians, which is right after Galatians. Colossians chapter 2. I want to start reading in verse number 1. It says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Verse 4, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words." Now if you will, skip down to verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." Now skip down with me one more time to verse 18. Verse 18, the Bible says, "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body is nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, growing with the increase that is from God." The title of the message tonight is, "Don't be cheated, don't be robbed." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this evening. Father, I thank you, Lord, already, Lord, for your presence in the house, for great praise and worship. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you have planned tonight, for what you're going to do in our hearts and in our lives. Father, we ask that you would open up our ears so that we can hear your voice. Lord, open up our hearts so that we can receive, Father God, and get all that you have for us tonight. Father God, may we be changed, Lord, from glory to glory, Lord, as we behold the Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, tonight, how many of you guys know that God has an amazing plan for your life? Amen. The Bible says to each and every one of us, God knows the thoughts and the plans that he has for you. They're thoughts of good, not of evil, plans to give you a future and a hope. Man, God has, from the beginning of time, before he started any of this, God has purposed and determined to bless your lives. The Bible says that he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The Bible says that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so from the beginning of time, God has purposed to do great and mighty things in each and every one of our lives. Amen? And God doesn't want us cheated. God doesn't want us robbed. God paid the highest price when he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And so everything that he purposed and everything he planned, he wants you and I to have. And so being that he doesn't want us cheated and he doesn't want us robbed, Paul comes along in Colossians chapter 2 and he pens these words by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll notice, he gives three warnings. The first one is don't be deceived. And then the last two say don't be cheated. Now, here's the thing. Here's what's interesting about these verses is that they're all very similar in meaning, but they all imply this, that we can lose what we have. Isn't that right? If he says, don't be deceived, lest anyone should persuade you with, you know, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words, don't be cheated of your reward, then doesn't that speak of, hey man, what I have, I could lose? So God doesn't want us cheated. Now, what's also interesting is as I actually had a different message planned for tonight, but God kept on saying, you know what, I want you to go read Colossians chapter 2. And I was like, okay. And the moment I started reading it, it got changed around. I believe this is a message for you tonight. But as I was studying, I came across verse 8, a very interesting passage. And I was looking at the different translations, and this is what the RSV translation says. It says, "See to it that no one makes prey of you." Do we have that up? See to it that no one makes prey of you. Maybe not. I didn't ask for that, actually. But anyways, the moment I read that, it reminded me of another verse, which I know we have, and it's found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. The moment I read that, see to it that no one makes prey of you, this other scripture came up. It's 1 Peter chapter 5, and it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil... Actually, I have a different version. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, doesn't that speak to you and I of the verse I just told you about being, make sure that you're not made prey of? Doesn't that speak of the same thing? So, here's the thing about it, is that God doesn't want us cheated, and God doesn't want us robbed, and the devil is out as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, the other thing about this verse is if the devil is out like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, we got to ask ourselves, who is it that the devil can devour, and how does he do it? I believe that will shed light on this whole issue of not being cheated, not being robbed, right? Because here's the other thing, too. When's the last time you and I, you know, we left church, we got out of church, we went to the parking lot, and all of a sudden you hear somebody screaming, ah! And there's this lion just gnawing on somebody, just running off into the bushes, just like, oh, the devil got another one. We don't see that, right? We don't see that whatsoever. But the Bible says that he's walking around like a roaring lion. The Bible also makes it, this is very similar to that. The Bible says that we're to put on the whole armor of God because in order to stand in the evil day and in order to block the fiery darts of the wicked one. I also find that interesting because I have yet to have somebody come up to me and say, you know what, Joey, check out this dart. I was walking through Macy's, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I saw this light, and it was just a flaming arrow, and I blocked it like, what? You know? That doesn't happen. So who is it that the devil can devour, and how is he doing it? Well, I believe the Bible answers that question. And so I want to go through a couple of familiar stories in the Bible that will help illustrate what I'm trying to say. Adam and Eve. How many of you guys know the story of Adam and Eve? Right? All right. So God made the garden. He placed Adam and Eve in the garden. And they got to do all these amazing things. You know, one of my favorite authors is John Bevere. And he talks about how God walked in the cool of the day with Adam. And how Adam got to hear about how everything was made. How everything worked. And so when I was just reading that, I think, God, man, I want to know. You know, I want to know how it all works, how the gravitational pull, and I know we have a lot of science and things that can describe all that and explain all that, but I mean, to hear it from the Creator himself, you know? And so, anyways, he makes Eve from Adam's rib, and those of you who are husbands in the house, or if you're not married, you have fun teasing your wife and say, hey, rib, get over here, just as a joke. My wife doesn't actually like that, so she's getting used to it, though. Anyways, so Adam and Eve get placed in the garden, and God goes and tells Adam and Eve, he says, of every tree in the garden, you can freely eat except for one. And that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God goes away, Adam and Eve are left in the garden. The devil shows up, and he's all, what's up, guys? What do you say you go take a bite of that tree over there? They're like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't think so. And then they say, you know, God says, you know, God said that we're not supposed to eat of that. And the day we eat of it, we're surely going to die. So the devil answers, and he says this. He says, you know what? God just doesn't want you to eat that because he knows that when you eat it, you're going to become like him. You're going to know the difference between good and evil. Now, I think that's so dumb because if God really didn't want them to be like him, he just wouldn't have put the tree there in the first place, right? So anyways, so they're like, oh, I don't know. He said we're going to die. And he goes, no, you're not going to die. He said, you're just not going to die. So Adam and Eve go ahead and partake of the tree, and the rest is history. So wouldn't you say that the devil got a hold of their lives? Wouldn't you say that he devoured them, he destroyed them? How did he do it? Here's how he did it. He did it with thoughts. He did it with ideas. And he did it with suggestions. Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions are how the devil throws his fiery darts, or how the devil walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There's another story in the Bible I think will help illustrate this better. It's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira, they were pretty wealthy, and during the book of Acts, you know, it's just amazing to see how much those people gave, and they gave to one another, and they gave to the house of God, and how they flourished and grew. And so one day they decide to sell their property, basically all that they have. They sell their property, and they get this money for it, and they're like, wow, that's a nice sum of money. So they're like, all right, I don't want to give everything, so I'm going to set this aside. We're going to set this aside for ourselves, and we're going to go give this, which there's nothing wrong with. The place where they get into trouble is that they show up to church. The Apostle Peter is taking offering up, and at that time you came and you gave it in front of everybody. They give their offering in front of everybody, and they say, "This is, we sold our property, and we're giving all of this money, everything we made, we're giving it to the church," which was a lie. And so, make long story short, they pretty much drop dead. But the interesting part is the statement that Peter makes just before this happens. And he says, "How is it that the devil has filled your hearts to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Now, doesn't that again speak of thoughts, ideas, suggestions? You know, Jesus calls the devil a liar. Jesus also said he's the father of lies. And then if you want to skip all the way to the book of Revelation, the Bible says that the devil is the deceiver of the nations. It says, in fact, when this is all said and done, he'll be locked up for 1,000 years, and then he'll be released again to deceive the nations. How do you deceive somebody? It's with thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And I hope you don't feel like I'm beating a dead horse. I just really want to get you guys on, What am I allowing into my mind? What things am I accepting from my music, from the TV, from my friends, from these different areas of life? Because God doesn't want you cheated. God doesn't want you robbed. He wants you to live a full life and to be all that he's called you to be. So I was thinking again of just some more ways I could explain this. How many of you have little brothers and sisters? Yeah. I do. My brother is 12 years younger than me. He's 14 now, so if you do the math, I'm 26, just so you don't do the math. How many of you have honestly tried to talk your little brother or your little sister into believing in Santa Claus? I got a few. The Westricks over there, they're so close in age, that must have been fun. Anyways, if I were trying to talk my little brother into believing in Santa Claus, it would go something like this. Daniel, his name is Daniel, you did not see mom and dad putting gifts under the tree. No, you didn't. You were half asleep. What are you talking about? Didn't you hear those noises on the roof? That's probably what waked you up. You know, when you look downstairs, you didn't see the smoke coming out of the chimney. Okay, I just didn't want to break it to you, Daniel. The truth is that Santa has to give gifts to the entire world in one night. One night. So what you don't know is that he came while you were sleeping, and he gave the gifts to mom and dad, and so they were putting them under the Christmas tree because he just didn't have time to do it himself. So that's why you saw mom and dad putting the gifts. What am I doing? I'm using thoughts, ideas, and suggestions to try to sway him over. You know, how many of you came home and your brother or sister was about to eat the last Twinkie in the box, and all of a sudden all this stuff, I am so hungry. You know, mom doesn't want anybody to eat that. You shouldn't eat that. And then they walk away. Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And so God doesn't want you robbed. And you know what else? I don't want you guys walking out of here afraid, like, oh my gosh, what thoughts? Every time you talk to somebody, oh my gosh, what are you saying? You know, okay, but what I do want you to realize is that if we're not careful, and if we don't know God's word, there's going to be times in life where situations will come and we'll run the risk, not being careful and not knowing God's word, of being cheated of what God has for us. And God doesn't want us cheated. So don't be cheated. Don't be robbed. How can we be protected? Number one, you got to understand that God's word is truth. God's word is truth. Now I'm going to need a little bit of audience participation here. By a show of hands, how many of you in here say, I really like Pepsi? We're talking about drinks, talking about favorite drinks, Pepsi. All right, put your hands down. How many of you in here would say, I prefer Coke to Pepsi? Oh, okay. All right, let's give Pepsi a chance. How many of you say, I'd prefer Pepsi to Coke? Oh, that's more than I expected. Pretty close. How about, let me have some of you guys shout out some of your favorite drinks. Anybody have a favorite drink? What? Sprite. All right, Sprite. Dr. Pepper. Ice cream. Did I hear somebody say ice cream? What? Iced tea, right? Cranberry juice. I like Malachi's answer. We're going to get to that. Cranberry juice. All right. How about this? How many of you guys in here like Starbucks? Yeah? What's your favorite drink? Vanilla latte. Who else raised their hand? What's your favorite drink? Strawberry frappuccino. Does anybody have like a crazy one? Like a Java chip, quadruple chocolate, extra chocolate, shaken, stirred. Does anybody have a crazy one they want to share? Okay, forget it. All right, who likes Jamba Juice? Yeah, I got any Jamba Juice? What's your favorite drink? I'm sorry. A green tea blast. I didn't hear the first word. Monster green tea blast. Right on. Okay, who else? That's pretty cool. Who else? Low-fat berry. Triple berry. Right on. Well, I don't know about you, but when it comes to drinks, I really like juice. I'm a juice kind of guy, which is why I like Malachi's answer, cranberry juice. And one of the most unsettling things to me is to be in a restaurant or be at the store, and all of a sudden you see on the menu or you're at the store, you see this beautiful container of juice. And you walk up to it like, oh yeah, this is going to be the bomb. And you pick up the container, about to put it in your basket, and all of a sudden you read on it, 2% juice. You're like, what? 2% juice? Or how about this? I've seen them 0% juice. It's like, are you serious? Like, anyways, let's just all agree that if it says 2% or 0% juice, it's not juice at all. It's just not juice at all. And so anyways, you know what I found is nothing can compare to the 100% real thing. You know those little plastic containers of apple juice are kind of shaped like an apple. Those are the bomb. There's nothing like waking up in the morning and have that tall glass of orange juice with a little bit of pulp. Anybody like pulp? Yeah. Anybody not like pulp? Anybody not know what pulp is? Anyways, I was actually at Subway today. And my wife and I had gone to Walmart, and the Subway was in Walmart. So anyways, I ordered a small sandwich, and I looked over to see what kind of drinks they had, and they were like, all soda. I was like, I don't want soda right now. I'm trying to be healthy, trying to keep my figure, you know. And anyways, I get up to the cashier, and I see this, I look like a mom and probably her son or grandson. And he's walking away with this little juice box. I was like, I think I'm going to try the juice box, right? So I had nothing to do with my message or anything, but I get the juice box, and it had the label on it, 100% juice. And I was like, oh yeah, that's how it works, man. So anyways, there's nothing like the 100% real juice. You know, you can mix them. You can have lemon lime. You can have cranberry grape. You have orange pineapple. There's just nothing like it. Well, in the same way, God's word is 100% truth. It is all by itself, all the way around, all the way through, 100% truth. Amen. And so, if you're going to not be cheated and not be robbed, you got to understand that God's word is the truth. You know, God's word doesn't need any additives. You know, drinks need additives. It doesn't need anybody to add to it. Doesn't need anybody to take away from it. It is all by itself the truth. You know, it doesn't need any preservatives. Somebody would say, you know, the Bible was written so long ago, you know, it doesn't really pertain to our life today. You know, it doesn't really, well, listen, God's word was around, yes, before creation was made, but when this is all said and done, God's word will still be around. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, hallelujah, will by no means pass away. Man, God's word is the solid rock upon which we can build our lives, and when the storms come, and when the rain falls and the winds blow, we will stand because we're founded on the rock. So God's word is 100% truth, and you got to know it. You got your Bibles, John 17, John 17, 17. John 17, this is so dear to my heart. Jesus is praying, and he's praying to God, and he says, God, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Turn with me to Ephesians 1, 13. Let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1, 13. It says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. One more, James chapter 1. Keep on going a little bit further back in your Bible. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 18. It says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And so God's word is truth. Don't be cheated. Don't be robbed. How can we be protected? Number two, you got to understand that all you need is in him. All you need is in him. Turn back over to Colossians chapter 2 again. Colossians chapter 2. You know, there are too many people in the body of Christ today. Too many people going to church. Too many people who call themselves a Christian. Who say, or they have a mindset that's something like this. You know, God, church, man, all that stuff, it's really cool, but it's just not enough. It's just not enough. I need some of these things. You know, I know I got these friends, and I know they end up taking me to the clubs, and I know they end up taking me to the bars, but I need them. I just need them in my life. I just have to have them. You know, besides, they're not bad people. They're not killing anybody. They're not stealing. They're not bad people. I need them. Or what about this? You know, I know they're not a Christian, but they are just so hot and they are just so smart and I am so lonely. And then we go and we give our lives and we date somebody, run the chance of marrying somebody who's not a Christian, who's not. Listen, guys, when you date somebody and when you marry somebody who's not a Christian, they are not going to push you toward the things of God. They are not going to help you. They're not going to help you grow. They're not going to help you read your Bible. They're not going to help you pray. They're only going to be there and they're only going to be away. And that's why the Bible says not to do it, you know, or even, you know, it can even get a little bit worse. You know, there's people that come to church and they love God, and I believe they do, but they just can't stop having sex outside of marriage. You know, I just have to have it. I just can't do without it. And, you know, we have too many voices out there, period. You know, in Hollywood and all these different places that say, you know what, Christianity is nothing but a bunch of rules. Nothing but a bunch of regulations that will keep you in a box, and you just can't have any fun. You just can't have any fun. It's just not worth it. It's not whatever. And the Bible says absolutely the opposite. You're there in Colossians chapter 2. Let's read in start reading in verse 9. It says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. The New Living Translation says it this way. It says, and you are complete through your union with Christ. The NIV says, and you have been given fullness in Christ. The ESV says, and you have been filled in him. The RSV says, and you have come to fullness of life in him. Young says, and ye are in him made full. And then I thought you guys would like this one. I really like this one. It's out of the Message Bible. And it says, you don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. So man, we are complete. You are complete in Him, in who He is. You know, the Bible says, I remember a young man came up to me and, I really love this guy, and he's an avid church goer, loves the Lord, but he came to me, he's like, you know what, Joey, I'm having this issue where, I love God, I love coming to church, I feel like it's, I don't know, I'm just not satisfied, I feel like a pull, like to go do other things, some things I know are wrong. And he, as he was describing it, and the Holy Spirit gave me a verse for him, and this is what the Bible says in 2 Timothy, I believe it's 1 or 2 Timothy, but it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Just godliness all by itself and being content with that is great gain. You know, the Bible also says in 1 John, it says that God's commandments, they're not burdensome. They're not a burden. Another translation says they're not loathsome. They're not something to be hated. They're not a drag. All right? God's word, God all by himself, yes, his word, his spirit, going to church, all of that is altogether all you and I will ever need. So don't be cheated. Don't be robbed. Understand that everything you need is in him. And then my last point tonight is hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, you're already there, starting in verse 18. It says, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments grows with the increase that is from God. And that part, if you have your Bibles, you can underline it. Not holding fast to the head. We're talking about holding on to Jesus. What does it mean to hold on to Jesus? It means to cling to him, man. It means to get a grip, get a strong, not let go. Holding on to Jesus means you and I have to retain him in our heart and in our mind. We gotta retain him. Keep God at the forefront of my mind. As I go throughout work and as I go around my family and as I go around my friends and as I go to school and whatever I do, God is right there at the forefront of my mind. Proverbs chapter 4. Last scripture tonight. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20. It says, my son or daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. What's he talking about there? He's talking about holding on to Jesus, holding fast to the head, to God Almighty, the one that we're complete in. You know, a lot of you are going to be starting school, and you may have already started. And you know what, guys? Don't get me wrong. I am all for education. I am absolutely, man, get your bachelor's degree, get your master's degree, get your doctorate's degree, and be blessed by God and do everything that he's called you to do. But you know what else? There's a lot of teachers out there that are into different things, into teaching things that in the end, guys, you'll find yourself robbed. Yeah. You'll find yourself cheated. You'll find yourself deceived. You know, I've had a number of friends over the years who, if the stuff they heard in school didn't, you know, completely take them out of church, you know, it weakened their faith, you know, listening to some of this stuff, but some of them are out to teach you some things, man, that doesn't line up with God's word. And so what we're talking about, how can I be protected? We got to know God's word is the truth. It's not something some man made up. It's not some religion that some guys came up with. It is the 100% truth. It is the 100% truth. And you know what? You're complete in him. So when they tell you things like, you know, oh, those desires, those are just natural. Everybody has that, you know? You know, one thing I found funny, and this may be a little bit philosophical, but this idea that you know, everybody has this desire, so go ahead and give into it. You know, like, let's just take something like sex, okay? Everybody has a sexual desire, you know, just give into it. You know, it's just a desire that was already there. You know, I don't know about you, but I've also had some other desires, like slapping people, you know, cursing people out, you know. I've been pretty upset, you know. I'm not perfect, okay? So there's been times on the soccer field, like, oh man, God, I want to kill that guy, you know? I don't just, oh, this is my feelings. This is just natural. And so I, you know, beat the crap out of somebody, you know? Obviously, so what they're teaching, they don't even hold to themselves. So anyways, that's not the point to get into debates and different things like that. But you know what, guys? God's word is truth. You're complete in him, and you got a purpose in your heart. I'm going to hold on to Jesus. You know, lastly, we all have friends and family that we esteem and that, you know, that we admire and that we like. But again, there'll be times in life where they're going to tell you things, you know, and hope, you know, God forbid that they're your Christian friends. But they're going to tell you some things that, man, they're going to cheat you of what God has for you. If you start believing that stuff, start accepting that as the truth, they're going to cheat you of what God has for you. So don't be cheated. Don't be robbed. If God spoke to you this evening, give him a great big praise. Thank you, Jesus.